since the category of content management was moving slower before, I think a lot of the teams were used to sort of like slow paced change. And the thing that's really been eye opening for everyone, including me, is that there's one thing to create a new category. There's another thing to move into this category that's being driven by AI, because the models are changing so fast.
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead.
So, Simon, what could you do with $40 billion?
Retire. How about that?
I could retire and then buy wherever the island that you want to retire onto.
There you go.
But we're going to be a little more realistic because we have a really great, interesting topic today and a great guest. We have Tricia Gelman, who's a CMO of Box. And many of you out there have probably heard of Box, but not the Box that Box has become. And she is going to talk to us about how they have expanded their TAM, total addressable market, by $40 billion because of the advent of AI and how they're weaving it into their products. And it's pretty crazy.
And it's a really fun conversation because AI is touching so much of what marketing is doing and what sales is doing. But here it's really transforming their go-to-market based on how they're talking about the product, the types of talent they're hiring, how they're working with their ecosystem of partners and systems integrators, and how they're changing the overall brand of what Box is, right? And really appealing to a new market. So there's a ton of area that we covered in this specific episode.
Yeah, it's really kind of, it's massive in terms of all the areas, all the different things that they're doing. And I think just some really good, you know, there's not a company out there right now that's not either rethinking or kind of going through some level of transformation, whether it's from AI or not. And it's a really great story just about change and transformation. So let's dive in.
Hey, Tricia, thanks so much for being on the show today. Listen, we've done quite a few episodes on AI and its impact on marketing, on the market, on sales. This kind of takes it into a whole new dimension. $40 billion related to AI. I just want to put that into context. $40 billion, and AI has helped you go out and find $40 billion of a new market. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Box is a really interesting company. When it was founded, it was going into sort of a new area where it was transforming content management by bringing content management to the cloud. So you understand that's not like the last 2 years. We've been around for a little while. And so initially we grew really fast because that was a new concept. But then the category of content management is not a hypergrowth category. It's a category that grows like between 6 and 9%. And so outside of sort of the initial years of, you know, moving people from on-prem to the cloud, the business has pretty much grown in the similar direction. But Aaron Levy, our co-founder, has always been sort of a big thought leader, and he's really been involved in the AI space. And he saw that content management as a category really had a ripe opportunity for the use of AI. I mean, 90% of most of a company's data is unstructured. So think about like your contracts for sales, think about your marketing plans for marketing. I mean, it, like across every single department and team, there are all of these things. And you can't really do anything with AI unless you can tap into, you know, this data. I mean, because you can use AI to like look at spreadsheets faster, but in the end of the day, like, what are you going to do with all the data from the spreadsheets? You want to kind of make it into a contract, an offer letter, an NDA, like whatever that might be. And so Aaron saw this opportunity and started really building into the AI space. And by building added product, we have the opportunity now to not just create new market, which is around AI, but also to build workflow and automation and things that agents can help us do with this advent of AI. And that puts us into the enterprise content management space, which is still, for the most part, on-premise. So there's a really big opportunity here, not just in a big new TAM, but in us taking market share as well, because the people who are in on-premise solutions clearly are not taking advantage of AI either.
Was there a moment where it was sort of like, okay, like we're seeing it, we're going to go, or sort of this sort of happened gradually over the last couple of years of like obviously generative exploding and kind of everything popping up out of thin air in terms of AI?
So I've been at Box for 6 months. And one of the reasons, I mean, the main reason I joined, honestly, is because of this opportunity to go after basically an entirely new space. It's adjacent to our existing space, but it's new. It requires building a new category. It requires aligning sales and marketing in a new way. It requires like really thinking differently about like, how are you building your pipeline, bringing it through the cycle? And these are all the things that I'm passionate about doing. And this kind of opportunity doesn't come up every single day. But my understanding from our head of sales, who kind of recruited me over, is that it was an idea that the team had. And so if you think about like the traditional offering from Box, we have like Box Notes in like storage and sharing and collaboration, all of which can be helped a lot by AI. I mean, having the opportunity to just like go do your prompts within your notes and actually get that information back, et cetera, is really valuable. But then the team saw like a couple opportunities for M&A. And really saw the opportunity to acquire a smaller company around automation. And when they thought about like building automation in and having that native to the platform and then adding the AI on top of it, it just like really popped. And honestly, it's only been like a year and a half since that acquisition. And like the entire go-to-market last year, they did the planning for FY25, like, you know, October, November, decided to do the acquisition in December. Basically, we're like, oh, okay, we have a whole new go-to-market.
Yeah, and the world has really changed then for you, right? If you think about it, and I've known you for years, Tricia, aligning sales and marketing has been something you've always been passionate about and talked about, but you're essentially creating a whole new category at this point for the company. And when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, there's a whole lot of collaboration, a whole lot of just changing the focus of existing teams, existing processes, existing planning, even to your point, right? Where do you even start? And then how do you get everyone on board?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really been an interesting thing because since the category of content management was moving slower before, I think a lot of the teams were used to sort of like slow paced change. And the thing that's really been eye opening for everyone, including me, is that there's one thing to create a new category. There's another thing to move into this category that's being driven by AI because the models are changing so fast and like what people are able to do with AI is changing so fast that in order to really build around this category, we're having to build at that same pace too. And so it's a myth about like, how do we get everyone focused on the exact same set of priorities? And, you know, that involves like looking at like, what are the priority industries? What are the priority sales segments? How do we actually look at each segment? Box is also unique because we have a full PLG business that I own all the way up to like the largest enterprises in the world. And so we're having to do this pivot for everyone. And I think you've been in companies before that kind of have an SMB business and other businesses. You know, SMBs tend to move a little faster and the enterprises tend to be a little bit more cautious. And I think we're seeing this across all of AI. Initially, like the larger enterprise companies are trying to figure out like, how do I have my AI like internal review board and everything else? So I think it's great that we have all of these different groups that we can go after because one informs the other. So for example, at our big signature event last year, BoxWorks, which was in November, we actually finally like announced to the market all of this like new innovation and what we were planning to do with it. We productized it, we put it into SKUs, et cetera, but we didn't ship it until January, which is the last month of our fiscal year. And we actually closed like an astronomical number of deals in the last 2 weeks of the year because of the demand for the AI products. But almost all of it, I think 3% of it was in enterprise. All the rest was like mid-market SMB because they were so excited. And one of the things that's really exciting and where this additional TAM comes from is that the traditional enterprise content management products that are on-premise are really, really expensive. And because of that, they require a lot of professional services, they require long engagements, and mid-market and SMB customers have never been able to actually even afford this or put in the time. And so with AI now doing this and making it available, like you can actually rethink how you run your business, whether you're like a 10-person company or a 20,000-person company. And so that's really exciting. I think your main question here is like, how do we actually do this? And what we've had to do is change our focus in marketing to be more simple. Think about like, what are the main messages we're trying to put out? How do we align through like the thought leadership that we're putting out into the market into sort of that solutions area where we capture from thought leadership down and then bring people through that journey, as well as think about who are the personas. And part of going after a new category and new message is bringing in new personas.
That's a great place for us to dig in, actually. Again, so historically, Box was being sold to, was it in marketing as well? Or kind of what were some of the, I guess, the pre this and then now in terms of personas like work? Because I remember using Box multiple companies years and years, and I was sitting in marketing, but I'm sure that was not a prime, was it a primary persona at the time? Or,
I mean, so every company, I mean, it's a wall-to-wall product. So you put in a storage solution and the storage solution gets used by everybody.
Yeah.
And that's because everybody creates content and content is kind of a backbone of every business. But the person who makes the decision is typically IT. And it doesn't mean that others can't. Like we have in our PLG motion, like a lot of people who are just like in a department and decide they want to actually just get Box for their department. But from an enterprise go-to-market selling motion, it's really IT. But a lot of cases in the old category, sort of slow growth category, was like an IT person who's just looking at like systems and process and looking a lot of times just to save cost. Like, how do I get rid of my servers? How do we actually move to a cloud solution? I'm moving like CapEx, OpEx, et cetera. And, you know, in my mind, it's actually a lot of like set it and forget it. Like you want to save the money. You want to bring in a new solution to like improve the security of like how you're storing the content in your company. But once you move it over, which is a few month process, you're like, oh, everybody's working in marketing, storing their things here, sales storing those things there. And you just kind of move on. Whereas now with automation, with AI, you have the opportunity to work with the IT people whose job is really to think of like, how am I actually operationalizing success for my company? How am I working with the marketing team to think about what the workflows are that we can automate? How am I working with the sales team? How am I working with HR to basically change every single onboarding process for everyone in my company? And there's all of these partnerships that happen between these IT leaders and the business process that they're empowering versus just looking at like what's the tech stack and the footprint that we have.
Is it right that the head of sales is the one who helped recruit you?
Yeah, I worked with Mark Wayland at Salesforce. You know, when Drift was purchased by Vista Equity Partners, it was on my daughter's 1 year birthday. And I was like, yeah, okay, this whole world is a little bit too stressful. I'm going to take a sort of back seat. I'm just going to do advising and board work. And I kind of thought I would do that until she was in at least kindergarten. Because it was like after the first year, I'm like, yeah, this is working out. I could do this for a little while. Good thing I stayed in doing that. Because, you know, with AI and everything else, I don't know how you step out and then you step back in. But, you know, I was staying current by being involved with a lot of startups and with the venture companies. So the recruiters, they actually do all the recruiting in-house at Box. And the recruiters reached out to me. And I thought to myself, well, I don't have any idea who this person is. So this cannot be an interesting opportunity. And I just like deleted it, honestly. And then the current CMO at the time, Chris Kohler, he was actually one of my champions when Box was using Drift. And so I knew him and he reached out and he's like, hey, it's really amicable over here, but I'm going to go after this other opportunity. And so I really think you should talk to Aaron. I think he would be a great CMO. And I was like, oh, okay, well, if Chris wants me to talk to Aaron, I guess like Aaron's pretty cool. I could talk to him. And then I was still very reticent though. And then Mark Whelan reached out and he's like, look, like this is the opportunity. And he started to lay out like this new TAM, the opportunity to transform, to build a category, like all the really fun stuff as a CMO. And I'm like, okay, I would be a really big jerk if after Chris and Mark reaching out, I basically said like, nope, see ya. I'm not interested in this opportunity. And so then I talked to Olivia, who is the COO. And all of sort of go-to-market basically rolls up to her. And she is a very, very seasoned go-to-market expert, having done like consulting for 13 years in go-to-market. And I'm like, after I talked to her, I was just so invigorated. And then I talked to Aaron and I'm like, you know what? This would be fun, like a lot of work, but fun. And so I decided I would actually take on the opportunity if they gave it to me, which, you know, here I am.
Which they did.
Yeah.
And there you go. No, but I love that because, again, you mentioned some of the things you're having to do on the marketing side to just shift the way you're going to market with the personas, with the messaging. But this is an entire go-to-market transformation now, right? You're moving up market. You are changing. You're selling change in some way to these, especially enterprise companies. And so how has the sales team had to adjust? How has the CS team had to adjust? Like, this is just so broad in its impact.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about the personas. And so I think one of the things is that we've had to partner really closely with sales and CS because we need to make sure that our existing customers are engaged and they're happy. And so that is like a really, you know, a lot of work, as you know, from any company to make sure that your customers are engaged. And so we've also been thinking differently about like, how do we do one-to-many CS and making sure that we touch people more often, and marketing and CS are working together on like really mapping out that onboarding flow and what's happening like post-sales, make sure that everybody who has purchased something is engaged. But the fact of the matter is we're not going to get this added TAM by just talking to the people we already spoke to. So we really have to turn every customer, not just into an active user, but a champion, so that we can actually go broader within the organization and span across the different parts of IT and move up to the CIO so that the CIO understands like what is the true differentiated initiative here. And so that requires marketing, CS, and then sales as well. And so we really have had to move from somewhat transactional process where people are like, oh, I want to save money. Okay, I'm going to do a deal. Okay, we're going to implement, to like, what is the true business value that's happening across the organization? And that has required us to like build an entirely new corporate narrative, to think about like, what are the use cases? What is the value within that? Really partner with like business value selling to identify in our existing customers, like what is the true value, so that we can retell that story and use that like new umbrella to then go deeper within the organization and like bring people through that funnel.
Talking about the new narrative, I mean, Box has got strong brand recognition. We've been around for a while. I mean, a lot of companies, I'm assuming like this is a name that's permeated throughout for a long time. Have you found that it's been easier or more difficult as they sort of go back, even people that are not customers say like, hey, it's like, you're sort of the new Box. This is not the Box you knew from a while ago.
I think initially everybody thought, oh, like people know us enough that if we just start talking about AI, Aaron has 4 million followers on Twitter, you know, we'll get this message out. It'll be great. But like we still, you know, Aaron tells these stories about how, you know, he starts talking to the person who's like driving AI and building agents and everything else, and some of our best early adopter customers. And then he has a conversation with them and they're talking about how, oh, like they have a buddy in XYZ company and they're talking to them, showing them like the use case, which, you know, is the best because you want to like spread word of mouth in order to make this work. But the other person is like, oh, I had no idea that Box did that. And it turns out they're a customer. And so it really, like really, really demonstrates the fact that that person who is an AI developer in a customer of ours never cared about storage in the cloud. As, you know, an AI developer or like technical IT developer who's now become an AI developer, these people were not involved in implementing Box before. So really it's about like helping people see us differently and then using that umbrella of like, why does this matter? What are we doing to get to these new people?
It's a fascinating shift. And just even based on what you just said, finding those users, honing in on the use cases that they are developing, the agents that they're developing under this new product, that's where you're really trying to capture. What are some of the most interesting use cases or agents that you found have been built by customers?
Yeah, so the whole agent building component is like a little bit newer, but you know, one of the like first use cases that we saw, like it is actually there, they've been in HR. And I guess it's because there's like a lot of like private information, like your PII, which Box is known for like its differentiation around security. Not that we're a security product, but just like the security that we can bring to a company to secure their data. And so a lot of HR organizations use Box to, you know, keep track of like everything about their employees, about all of their onboarding process, about their recruiting, et cetera, because of that like security of information. And so one of the first things that we saw was people setting up agents for recruiting. So, you know, people always talk about how recruiting is tough and time consuming. And one of the biggest reasons is because you get in all of these resumes, they're all different, the structure, the format, like, you know, the information is totally different. And you have to have like a little mini army to just like feed through all of these resumes. But now what we've seen is people building agents where there's a folder, people submit their resumes online into a company, and the agent basically just goes through and knows what are the keywords you're looking for which roles in the company, and can just parse the resumes into like, these are the good ones, these are the bad ones, let's give them a score. And then based on the score and the roles, dump them into other folders. so that the recruiters really just have to look at those folders and never have to go through the big folder, which is really cool because it's increasing the quality of people that are being hired and like their time to hire. But then the next phase after that is onboarding, where you have these onboarding flows and really being able to use AI to like parse out like what is it that you need each of these people to do? And then how do you actually like measure them through and help walk them through the onboarding?
We had a couple episodes about agents, and it feels like that's sort of this, like we're at like step two of 1,000 in terms of just the whole agentic world.
We started shipping AI product in the middle of January. And here we are like just a few months later and everything's moving so fast. And one of the things that's super cool about like Aaron's vision around this and his understanding is that he made the decision that we are not a model company and we're not going to try and create our own models or do anything in that way. And so we have like a model agnostic platform to the point that if somebody wants to bring their own model, they can bring their own model. And so we've been really partnering with all the different model providers to like be right there as a partner when they release their models. And that involves also sort of all of this work that's kind of coming together around like the sort of like centralized layer for agents to talk to each other. And so there's a lot of really cool stuff coming down the pipe right now where we'll end up being one of the first companies to do like agent to agent conversations between companies. So like we're working, for example, with Salesforce and Agentforce on their ability for Agentforce to talk to Box AI agents. And we're starting to do beta testing of that right now. And one of the like main use cases for that is for sales. So in Salesforce, you'll store like all of the information about like the size of a deal, all of that stuff, but the actual contract is not stored in Salesforce. And so what we're able to do now with agents is we can say like, oh, bring me up XYZ like deals. Let me know like when are the renewal terms for all of these? And then what is it that we want to offer for the price? And now just create new contracts for me. And so that's pretty cool where you actually have like the two agents working together for a sales rep. And you can think of like the productivity of it. One, they're uncovering customers like before the renewal cycle so that they can actually get in front of them with new pricing, new offers. And then they can instantly just like generate the contract and send it off.
One thing I want to go back to for a second, because you talked a little about it, is like having this base of customers who didn't realize now that you're doing all these things. What have you found that's been the most effective way to sort of, I guess, say reintroduce Box or sort of just reintroduce like, this is an entirely new paradigm, this is entirely new product to get the attention of maybe even customers that are have worked with Box in the past, could still be using, but again, like it's enterprise content storage, it's kind of off to the corner. Like what's working to be like, oh, wow, that's really kind of like bringing it back to the forefront.
I think there's two things actually, and I wouldn't say it's like one or the other. The first is that, you know, you said that we have like pretty good brand awareness, which is true in our category. When we actually go to people and say, hey, we have something new to say, it's almost like they tune out. They're like, no, like in my mind, you're in this like little space. And so I'm not listening to you, or like there's like some like validity of what you're saying that just like doesn't compute to me. And so what we found is actually like going and doing marketing with partners or system integrators is actually like really smart. So, you know, Mark Wayland, who we talked about as our head of sales, he told me this story. He said, you know, it's really funny. We had all these customers, we're trying to tell them like all these amazing things, and you could see them. They're just like putting our comments into like some other box in their head. And then we were in the event with IDC where, you know, they've categorized us as a leader. They like renamed their marketscape around intelligent, which is like a huge within the first year, like picking up the name of our category, essentially. And they start talking about what's happening in the world and what's changing and how agents are going to impact the content management space and like why this is related to like their marketscape. And they said, and you know, one of the leaders in this is Box. And you could see like everyone in the room all of a sudden was like, oh yeah, Box. Oh yeah, we like Box. And we had just been talking for 15 minutes, but then they start talking. And now all of a sudden, everyone's listening. Everyone's saying, oh, I should hear what Box has to say. And then IDC is basically telling them like, oh, blah, 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 like our top messaging and, you know, why this all matters. And they're like, oh, we need to have meetings. The other thing is like in-person events, because when people see it, all of a sudden they're like, oh, crap. Like we've been talking about agents, but actually it's real. It's not like a fabricated demo. It's literally like, let me show you how this works right now. And then people really get motivated to go back to their companies and really think, like, how do I start to think about this, you know, in our own life cycles and our ability to like execute AI today.
Kind of remarkable how quickly things are moving. And on that note, talk about your team. Have you had to even just rethink the roles or rethink the specific skills that you're hiring for or that you're placing more importance on within a team in order to then bring about a change like this?
Yeah. So one of the things we haven't talked about is the role of the developers. And like historically, we did not do marketing to developers. And even when we first started talking about like making our product more API driven and like opening it up so that people could do more with the agents and things, we kind of thought, okay, well, we're also building out a more robust partner framework, because when you move from sort of like a point solution to workflow, you're touching across more of the organization. You have to build more things out. There's a lot more revenue on the table for professional services and for like GSIs and partners. In partnership, that's another thing that we're building out. And we thought, oh, like the people who are going to use these APIs are going to be the partners. But what we found is that the people who are really passionate about AI and are the ones like tinkering and finding the use cases and building out the agents are developers. And so there's this weird thing where we've had to like spin up an entire group of people who are putting out videos like 3 to 5 times a week with like tweets and blog posts and everything else of just like this massive amount of content, educating people on how they can use our APIs and how they can use AI to actually like, you know, solve their business problems, not just, you know, randomly do development. And that was totally new. And like we have an entire platform product marketing group now. And within that, we're hiring people who have technical AI experience. So not just like, how do I take the messages of what the products from Box do and like write them really nicely and like help show the use case, but actually like build examples and build content related to like how this is actually working. And I think that that's been really interesting. The other thing is like back to like building the category and getting in front of people. In today's day and age, you don't really have a lot of media to help you tell that story, to create that overall awareness. I mean, most of journalists from 10 years ago are not journalists anymore. They're like working in our teams, like actually writing for companies and doing content management and other things. And so my head of comms, Kate, she was really early on to say, you know, we need to take advantage of building the category through this awareness, but it's not going to be because we're going to get like more stories from New York Times or Wall Street Journal. It's going to be because we're going to have our leaders in podcasts. We're going to have our leaders influencing content that's showing up in newsletters and really partnering with these main influencers out in the market. And so we've been hiring up a team of people to actually do that. We first looked at doing it through agencies, but what we found is our content's kind of technical and there aren't a lot of agencies that actually have this technical expertise. And so it's probably better for us to just do this directly. And we're looking all the time at like what new podcasts have spun up, what new newsletters are out there, like who are the top leaders that are talking about AI and like how do we try to get in front of them to get aligned to their message, to sponsor what they're doing and or to like be a part of the podcast.
I mean, that's a major shift for any marketing team, right? Just suddenly like, you're like, oh, we're going to go, we have an API and then like someone's got to go and build the example, the implementation of it and then share it out there, right? So like
And I think, I mean, I don't know that all companies have developer relations team. Like a lot of the companies I've worked at did have a developer relations team, but marketing didn't really work that closely with them because they were like so hands-on technical. What we're finding now is that this new person who's leading our platform product marketing team is actually partnering day-to-day with the developer relations team. And we're really working with the product leader who owns that team to say, okay, like, what are you doing? What are we doing? How do we actually create this new content motion in order to like really be out there and sort of like take advantage? We're also, I'm fortunate I have a video team. We're looking at like, how do we rebuild our entire YouTube channel so that we can get this content out? And previously we had a Box set of channels and a developer relations set of channels. And right now, like even just last week, we decided we're going to compress them and it's all like the same group of people. And so that's why we have to like really think about how do we rebuild the YouTube channel so it actually has like sub areas within it and it's very clear and people can like find what it is that they want and need right away. It's really a crazy time here at Box, I would say. And it's interesting to see like the people and the team that are like embracing the change and moving forward. And then some of the people that are like kind of wondering, like, what do I do? My goal as a CMO is to kind of inspire everybody to step up and to embrace this. And it's very challenging. But at the same time, I think the thing that's really challenging for us right now is like, it's all new. And so it feels very thrashy. And what I try to get the team to understand is when you do something new, especially when you've been doing a lot of the same things for like over 5 years, it's going to feel thrashy because, like I said, the product marketing team is working in new ways with developer relations. The marketing team is like working differently with the sales team. Like everybody's working with different people, different processes, different challenges, but, you know, with very clear goals. And so for probably 3 to 4 months, it's all going to feel thrashy until what we're doing becomes like the new normal.
Totally. I mean, it's exciting to watch and it's exciting to hear, you know, all the things that you're doing. Trisha, we have a question that we ask everyone who joins the podcast. We like to end on it. What is the most ridiculous thing you've been asked to do in your career?
When I was at Salesforce, it seemed kind of ridiculous. And in today's day and age, it would actually seem like even more scary. But, you know, when we were trying to establish the fact that the cloud was a thing, we would go to like Oracle's main conference and we would pick it. And you're like, no, I didn't show up at work today to like grab a stick and like go pick it on the street. But I mean, that's what we did to create noise and to create media attention. And it worked. Like it totally worked because we were basically like, oh, Larry Ellison's in there and he's going to like have some blah, blah message. But what we want is for the media to cover us. And so like we totally created this distraction that, I mean, we were really small then. We were less than a $1 billion company and we got coverage out of it.
We could talk all day on this topic, I think, because we've gone pretty far, but this was great. Appreciate you jumping on talking about it. I think I'm going to go do a bunch of deep dive into Box now because I'm really interested in what you guys are doing. And I think it's really, it's a great lesson to anybody, any market, go to market team out there that like change is good, change is scary, change happens fast, but it can create a massive amount of opportunity, which you've clearly
And I think, I mean, the thing that I'm trying to like, you know, it's just not my normal, like I'm always like building and growing teams and, you know, and pivoting a little bit. But I think this is like a real massive year of change and it's uncomfortable and being okay with uncomfortable is like a new normal that you have to embrace, but then like also celebrate. And that's what I'm trying to do with the team too, is like celebrate each of the things that are like wins that we've achieved. And it's not going to all just be different and great, like, you know, the next day, but, oh, okay, so-and-so launched a new model. And on the day they launched it, we had a webinar. We had, you know, our little education videos. We had all of this content and things like on that day. I mean, even when I joined 6 months ago, we were in no way, shape or form set up to do something like that. And the fact that we're doing it like sometimes twice a week with different model providers right now, it's just awesome. It's awesome to see how the team has come together and how we're like really just doing new things. It's fun.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Trisha.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue, and we might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.